Welcome back down to Brass Tacks. It's 10 minutes after the hour of one. You're on the air. Good afternoon, go ahead. Good afternoon, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Voice.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, hello?
Yes, hi, Brass Tacks.
Yes,
go ahead.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I want to add my voice to this whole concern. Everyone is seems to be going crazy over the coronavirus. I want to ask that Barbadians, not only for the coronavirus, but for anything else, please get the information first. Please don't panic. Operate on information. Operate on facts. Cross-check the information so that you have the best viewpoint, and then maybe you can speak on it or even don't speak. I do not like the idea of people creating panic. From the information that has been put out there, Ebola pose a more serious threat than this virus. You know, and the authorities at the time took care of it.
Well, I agree with you. I think the worst thing we can do is panic. I think the government is being very careful not to create panic. But on the same token, then the same hand, you have to understand the need for sharing information, which the government has been doing. I would like to think that it is full disclosure of everything that is happening. We certainly know that they have sort of told us what we need to do, which is in keeping with the whole World Health Organization rules and regulations. They can't create their own. What they are free to do, however, is to decide as a country how they're going to manage it in terms of our borders. And as I said earlier, and I will reiterate, we are hopeful that our government will do everything in their power to protect our people from this virus. In the
I believe the government is being responsible.
Yeah, and I'm saying that. That's what I'm saying, but things can happen, though.
They have come out and said, and based on what, and we all have access to phones, and it's not just for taking selfies, please. You can cross-check what the government is saying versus what is being put out internationally by the World Health Organization.
You know, and this thing about masks.
Statements being made. And the thing is, they're not.
What do you think about, I don't know when you're saying don't panic, but right now Barbadians are buying the protective gear, masks, some people are buying goggles.
For me personally, I'm buying nothing. I'm following the procedures of wash your hands and don't put your hand to your face without washing your hands when you come in contact with surfaces and stuff like that, in and outside of the home.
So are you saying that if, God forbid, and Lord knows this is a small word, but I said it, if there is an outbreak of some type, then you would then take the necessary precautions of the next step of wearing a mask or not?
I don't even know that it's necessary to wear a mask.
Okay.
I don't know that it's necessary. There's nothing that I've seen that says that it's necessary to wear a mask. I'm not working with the people. I'm not working with the patients coming into the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. And I think that if it comes to that, the government will then say, or the next step is to do this, the next step is to do that. But at the same time, we are actually bringing down the energy on ourselves when we are worrying so much. You're adding to your daily stress. There's no need to add to your daily stress.
But you understand the need to be cautious, though, to be concerned.
I understand that. Trust me, I totally understand that.
Okay.
But we have been sent to school. The government, we, the taxpayers, pay for one another to go to school. Because it's not free. It's learn now, pay later. So you go now and then you pay for somebody else. And we have all this education and we're not using it. Why are we acting as though we are in the dark ages and we have no access to information?
Well, we have access to social media is what we do with the information that we get and how we share it. And not that I'm changing the coronavirus subject, but generally speaking, there are people who will video things and post them to create problems. Now, this morning, I really wanted to get a psychiatrist/psychologist in here, and I will do so in due time, not only to discuss people who are feeling depressed and mental health issues, but I am seriously concerned about the mental health of individuals who seem to have to get a daily set of vitamins to video things that have no concern, nothing to do with them, and post them to hurt other people. There must be something psychologically wrong with that.
Right, you're actually on a good one. I actually want to add to that. Mm-hmm. In relation to the Kobe Bryant helicopter crash, mm-hmm. one of the videos that came up early, and this is one of the reasons why I don't repost things. I'm very careful about reposting things. And I, as of last year, I actually even made a serious effort to double-check facts before saying, even speaking on a particular topic. I noticed that one of the videos that was out early about the crash showed a helicopter crashing in a canyon. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's very strange. From what I could see of the helicopter, it looked like a U.S. Coast Guard helicopter. So that made me question whether that video was legitimate anyhow. So I was like, you know what, let me see what CNN or whoever else is out there puts out, whatever information is in, because I am not going on that, mm-hmm. you know. But people had that video around saying that that was the actual crash happening.
Like when we have a hurricane season and people start sharing videos of something that happened 4 years ago and tell you this is what's happening. And that's what I'm trying to get to the bottom of. Is it that some human beings, and they can take this however they want, but those who are guilty of this, is it that your life is so uneventful that you don't have no issues at all, no problems, that you try to hide behind something to create problems on social media by sharing things that are not true? And worse yet, there's an accident somewhere. I could understand the reporting of not going down this place because of an accident, but you're seeing photos being shared of people who taking their last breaths and their family having to find out via a WhatsApp picture, I mean, or a video. And I'm thinking, who would do that? There was another video that was being circulated. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I saw the minister speaking about it, of tourism. And some person took it upon themselves to video some tourists and post the video. And the argument was and is, why couldn't that person just tell the tourists that it is illegal to do nude sunbathing on the beaches? Why did they have to video it, carry them on in a way that, you know, it wasn't even friendly, it was horrible, and then post it? There's something called the Computer Misuse Act. Yes. And I think the government needs to spend more time sharing that information about the consequences of spreading information from your WhatsApp pictures and things that can get you into trouble. Now,
yeah,
if those people wanted to sue her, which she may be sued, I don't know, but I don't know law to that extent, but I also know that she can be cautioned or charged with the Computer Misuse Act. She may even be charged with the Pornography Act, you know, because they were nude and you're sharing it on social media. What do people get out of this is my billion-dollar question. What do you get out of it? Why do you need to do it?
Well, let me say that it is, I've been thinking about it, right? And it's some stuff that we need to think about, and we need to have public discussion, or we need to discuss things, and not, when things come up, we need to do a lot more discussion and have people think about things. But it's not as simple as we think it is. One of the things I'm going to say now, firstly, is that we have started to create a very dangerous situation worldwide where people can now do things and then say it's fake news, as we see in the world of Trump. Mm-hmm. So this is one of the things that makes it dangerous. But I don't think it started out that way. The device is very addictive. From the research that I've seen, a lot of the operations on how the phone operates becomes very addictive. There's a lot of studies out there now, like, you know, when you get WhatsApp and you get the ping, people become addictive to the ping. People have, because it didn't start by people just sharing these types of things, but it started by people, you know, over time it became popular to, you know, make a video with your friends and do this, and it has creeped into society. mm-hmm. without people really thinking about how am I using this device. And it has gotten into some people saying to always be posting, and it's almost, it's, like I said, it's addictive to be constantly posting, mm-hmm. so they're looking for things to post.
Well, that's the thing. That's why I wanted to get...
fame, you know, and that kind of stuff. So it's not... Mm-hmm. I don't believe it is as straightforward as saying people can't... You know, people should watch this or what... You know, should watch their behavior, but I think it has snuck up on
it's
people.
It's an addiction, basically.
And it became an addiction, and then it's mm-hmm. kind of hard to mm-hmm. realize that you are participating in an addictive activity.
Well, that then brings me back to my point where I said that we will need some... and eventually... talk to people who would know, psychologists, psychiatrists, yes. because obviously if it's an addiction, how yes. can
there's information out there.
How can we get people to not abuse it and to share the right things and not to be, how do you get them to put down their phone just for an hour? Truthfully, I will admit, with the line of work I'm in, you need information, but it's the type of information you're sharing. And you maybe you need your phone constantly because you need to know what's happening in various things and things that are true. But
right.
the things about the accidents and shootings and so on and so forth, I understand that we shared that news where someone dies and the newspapers release something and we share that article from a legit source. Yeah. What I don't get is the cameras on site taking pictures of people taking their last breath, people who need help, and your contribution to the whole exercise is a phone, you know, and then all of a sudden needed to share it with your friends, and then they share it with theirs, and all of a sudden you hear John Brown is dead, his mother or his sister gets a message, they're at work, they maybe not even well themselves, and that is how a person finds out, you know, about the death.
Yeah.
I just think that is just so inhumane on all levels.
Yeah.
Shame on the people who do it. And I
yes,
think that they need a life.
In terms of phone usage. And we have to look at not only the phone, but any technology we need to now look at. When new technology comes online, how do we use it? How do we, you know, what are the purposes it's used for? And you know, you want to maximize the use of the technology, but you also have to move with a bit of caution that you do not infringe on other people's rights and private space.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a new respect. Like, for instance, in France, even professional photographers and media people cannot take a photograph of you without your permission. They can be sued. In
and
France, you
true,
cannot
yeah.
just go and take pictures of someone. When you're operating, when you're working for a professional production agency, doing an ad, doing music video, whatever, if anyone ends up in the video, you have to get a release from them that they
yeah.
said it was okay, that you know it wasn't intentional, it was okay.
Are you blur them out? Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. you know. So even if I go to a park to take a picture, me and you go to a picnic, I take a picture of you and some boys in the background. I have to be careful that the person in the background does not show up. France mm-hmm. has made a put their regulations in place. You know, to kind of guard against this kind of thing.
Well, someone is saying, good afternoon, Joanne. The Computer Misuse Act needs to be enforced. There are photos, there was even a photo of someone who was seriously shot. It was a photo of a person on the hospital bed with bandages and tubes. So basically what they're saying that this would have had to come out of the hospital itself.
Right.
You know, so... I'm just saying that where do we stop with the malicious communication?
Right, but I want to add one more thing to what that person is saying about, you know, there are a lot of, something that I've been thinking about, we have a lot of laws, but we are a country of 160 square miles, around 280,000 people. Laws, and I don't like to use the word law anymore, I prefer to say regulations, because I believe in rehabilitation. Of everyone, I believe that we are all human beings. People make mistakes. For whatever reason, some people commit them multiple times. We all know this. But I think we need more education, not more locking up of someone. We need more education, more and more education, more and more knowledge in town hall meetings, in community centers, at work. You know, we need more emotional intelligence being taught so that our people can think better.
Can I share this with you?
Better,
someone just sent us something to share before you
mm-hmm.
go.
Yeah.
They sent me an excerpt from the Computer Misuse Act, Section 14, where a person uses a computer to send a message, letter, electronic communication, or article of any description that is A, indecent or obscene, B, constitutes a threat, or C, is menacing in character, and he or she intends to cause or is reckless as to whether he or she causes annoyance, inconvenience, distress, or anxiety to the recipient or to any other person to whom he or she intends its contents to be communicated. He or she is guilty of an offense and is liable on summary conviction to a fine of $10,000 or to imprisonment for a term of 12 months or both. So to those persons who did not know, there's consequences to your actions, and it can come in the form of a fine of $10,000 or 12 months in prison or both. So we're
hoping. More. There's actually more, you know, because if you send out a document that includes someone who is a resident of the European Union, mm-hmm. and it is scandalous and is whatever, and the people's information, mm-hmm. it carries an even greater penalty. So,
we're hopeful that people will just sort of, you know.
Yeah, but we need more emotional intelligence. We need that developed. I think that's where we need.
Mm-hmm. But we've been hearing that term recently. We need more EI.
Yes,
going on, and a lot of people and the older population don't exactly understand what that means. And I'll only say that because I heard on another station, a senior citizen called in and he said, you know, all of these acronyms, and they don't fully get that because this is something that we're now looking at. This is not something that we looked at,
you know,
years ago.
They grew up in an era where it was practice. So they didn't necessarily, it wasn't that fancy term, but they recognized that each other was a human being, and we all looked out for one another. Mm-hmm. Recognize that I might not be your family, but you're a human being, and I'm a human being, and so you do no harm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is you know, it's something that they did. All the folks practice. It was called something else, but it's something that they practice. You know, and it's been lost to us in society over time because I think that we started to put value on material things more than the non-material things. Recognizing the material things have a place, but as far as I see it personally, that place does not supersede the place of looking out for your brother, which is also looking out for yourself.
Okay, well said, and hopefully we can make some changes here in this country when it comes to communication and malicious communication, because it can result in death. Because it can result in people being depressed and suicidal thoughts, committing suicide, depending on how much information went out about that individual. It can break up marriages, end friendships. I mean, see, everything starts with communication. And what you say, you have to be careful with not only what you say, but what you spread. Because you may have a conversation with somebody. Yes, you can have conversations with your friends. But for you to send things out on a social media platform for thousands of people to see, I personally think that there's something wrong with individuals. I think that they need some sort of psychiatric evaluation because it's a serious addiction. We talk about addiction for people who can't do without their phones, but the addiction really lies with people who can't help themselves from sharing things that would hurt other people too. It's something that we have to look at. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air. Good afternoon. Go ahead. Good afternoon. All right, with the numbers to call, 434-1790, I'm going to try to get in some WhatsApp messages. Hi, Joanne. I'm not saying the filmer was right, but those tourists are just as much as wrong, if not more so. As a tourist, we should be conscious of the laws of countries we visit, and no matter how ridiculous we think they are, if we want to visit them, we should follow them. Some people travel the globe thinking that because of the first world country they come from, they are immune to these laws and can behave as they like. And when they are penalized, their country can shame the other over their primitive laws. Ultimately, would these tourists have been what these tourists have done this in Saudi Arabia. They should consider themselves lucky that being filmed was all that happened. I don't know if I fully agree with that. I don't see why you would film them, but again, I respect your opinion, writer. I don't think it was filming them and posting it was necessary. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, you are talking about the social media, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I know there was an insurance company who sent me something. I have an account, not really an account, but paying an insurance. And while I pay the insurance, they sent out this thing to me and telling me this thing is joint with me and another man. I mean, I was like, when my husband said, I said, wait, he said, have another man? So what I'm looking at is that.
Let me start again. Interesting story, it sounds like. So let me start. You know, you got me sitting up here now. Tell me.
I have an insurance.
Right.
With a company.
Right.
I'm not calling the company name.
Don't. Go on.
But I have a joint account insurance.
A joint account insurance?
Yes.
Or
you know,
a policy?
Like you will have you and your daughter.
On a policy?
On a policy, right?
Okay.
And they sent me this thing. So when I look at it, I said, me and this buddy? I don't know this buddy. So when I went to them now, this is what the lady would tell me. Maybe your husband don't trust you. I said, wait, you all send this thing for me. Who is this person? And the thing is that, you know, I asking them about it. And this boy said, maybe your husband don't trust me. Then she went and made the correction. And saying, okay, it's a mistake. But, you know, that thing is causing a friction between me and her.
So the person's name on this policy was a man's name?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. And the thing is that, you know.
So it was an error. Your husband, it caused problems with you and your husband because there is this insurance policy.
He probably thinking, no, well, I have something with me, another man.
But this, your husband, in my opinion, he's not making much sense because if he's worried, he should be worried about you taking out more insurance on him and that your name is not on it and that you are with someone else. But having another man's name on an insurance policy, how does he, you know, I can understand where he's kind of asking the question, but for me, I'd be like, I'd be more worried if my wife takes out more insurance.
No, this is okay.
On my life, you know.
Okay. It's not a life insurance, eh?
It's just not. It's okay.
Less it is a house insurance.
Oh.
Right?
So okay.
It's a house insurance.
Oh.
But this house insurance,
mm-hmm.
They sent it to me as it is joint with me and this other person, a name that I don't know. So it's like, when he sees it, what? They have this house with somebody else.
So okay, you and your husband been married for a long time, and then this insurance that you have was something that was another house, not the same house that you were in, right?
Same house that we're living in.
Okay, and you had insurance for all these years, and all of a sudden it came in with somebody else's name, or
yeah.
Was it when you know got insurance for the house?
I had it all the time.
And whose name was on it all the time?
Me and my husband, yeah.
Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so, okay.
Yes.
So
I'm thinking
I'm trying to figure out, the next name that you're talking about was Mrs. So-and-so and Mr. somebody else?
Yes.
Or Mr. and Mrs. somebody else's last name?
No. Miss.
Whatever your name
and
is. And Mr. whatever his
name
is.
Not a name. The name is not the same name.
Oh.
Mr. Okay, it's like the body saying, you and Arnold.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
They put your name as Miss C,
mm-hmm.
and the other name joint with Miss X.
How many times I made this error? It was only one time with email? Any mail?
I had gotten it already a time, but I didn't say anything about it, but with a different name again. But I didn't say anything about it.
Wait, look at there. Sorry, right? But if you have this ongoing problem and the names keep changing, your husband must know, or should assume, that it's a genuine mistake. I mean, you sound like a mature woman. And, you know, if three different names appeared on three different occasions.
But is the answer getting, you know what I mean? You know, your husband don't trust you. So why are you telling me that? My husband don't trust me, so you could make a mistake all the time for a reputable firm like that and telling me, oh, we are a reputable firm, so we don't make them kind of mistakes?
Yeah, but you yourself just said it's causing problems with you and your husband, though. It could.
It would, you know.
It has it, or it would? Because, I mean, Kadir, is it genuine?
It is.
It is?
Right? Because what I'm saying is that these people should not make that sort of mistake.
Well, has it been corrected?
Well, after I talked about it, they sent a letter to me say they're sorry. But sorry don't cut it for us.
So what do you want from this insurance company?
I don't even know what I want from them because I still think and I feel bad.
Are you divorced? Are you heading for a divorce?
No.
Okay.
He loves me and I love him, but is what they are sending. They send this thing. I mean, this company make a lot of mistake with me already. Because, I mean, one time I paid for my car, and they send and say I owe for my car. I mean, I did this, and they say this. I mean, I find that for a reputable firm, there should be more know what to do.
But I find, truthfully, I think that people need to understand that people make mistakes. And if they correct it, and there's no harm, no foul, he's not divorcing you, I hope.
You never know.
Well, true, but then you shouldn't blame the insurance company. He may have other reason to feel that he may want to be divorced, and
no.
Who knows? I don't know. I'm just saying. But, you know, you got to, if they've rectified the problem.
It's just that I feel, right, mm-hmm. that these people should be more cautious.
I agree, but mistakes do happen. And a letter was written of an apology was given.
Yes, but you must realize when you make mistakes. Let me tell you something, right? Mm-hmm. At one time, I went to a credit union and draw some money. And when I draw this money, I didn't copy it in my purse. So when I went to have some lunch with some children, here come this phone call came to me. Have I given you this amount of money? I said, I don't know. I said, but how you get my number? And they told me. I said, I don't know. He said, well, okay. Can you bring back this money for me? I said, bring back money. I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway, I went to my bag, look at the money. I didn't open it. I said, but it is now 6:00, so how would I get there? They're telling me, come. Now, when I get there, the door was open before even I show up. What somebody was saying to me, you know, if it was you that had made that mistake, it would take months before you get back that money. I said, yeah, but you know, I won't be able to sleep with holding this money. When I went there, the body gave me $1,000 extra here.
Let me give you some, share some WhatsApp messages with you because people are trying to crucify me, but they're on your side. They're saying, Joanne, why are you taking the side of the insurance company? One lady here says, you need to change the insurance company. The other lady says, the person here is saying, you're missing the point. The insurance company should be sued. Some other person here said, hi, Joanne. The insurance company admitted the error by using this letter to all policyholders. So if that writer can explain to me if this was something that happened to more than one person and when, this is dated 24th January, it says here, dear valued policyholder, we wish to address the recent renewal notice you would have received, which included incorrect information relative to the names on your policy. Unfortunately, there was a computer malfunction which caused a realignment of the database, resulting in the inaccurate shifting of information in some fields. Regretfully, this error was not realized prior to the distribution of the notices. The problem has been fully rectified, so please disregard the notice you received with the incorrect names. Enclosed is your renewal notice, which now shows the correct information. We sincerely apologize for any inconvenience caused, and we can confidentially assure you that no other account information was compromised as a result of this error. We thank you for your understanding and look forward to a continued insurance partnership with you. Now, I don't know what insurance
company that is. That is exactly what they sent to me, too.
Okay, well.
That's exactly what they sent to me, too. But they now have been making some other errors, and I am to understand it. They have done something. They have done something to me there, too, that I didn't even know. When you want to buy an insurance, they tell you all the nice things. Yes, they should read, but a person that have, I would say, trust you and you give them for what it's supposed to be. I mean, I don't really want to go into details what it is, but I mean, I felt so badly at the end what they have done. Not that I want to change them, because I've been there now for all the days of my later life.
And this is house insurance again. Let me repeat that, because somebody's asking which insurance this is, and it again is house insurance.
I cannot mention the name.
No. They're not asking what insurance. They said this is home insurance we're talking about, not of your contents, but your home. This is one question someone is asking, if she's referring to house insurance or insurance of her contents in the house.
House and contents.
House and contents. Okay. One other person says, sir, this is exactly why the companies and authorities in Barbados will always get away with error, because no one is willing to call a name and hold them publicly accountable. Well, we can't call the names here. So,
I think they need something like Judge Judy, that you could go before her and carry a problem and get your rights, because Barbados needs something like that. Because I think that so many nonsense are going on, especially these companies, and then they always have the rights over the person, and that is not nice. Mm-hmm. It's not nice. They always have the rights over the person, and you can't go and say, well, go to the ombudsman or some other place, because as you do that, they want to victimize you.
Well, you mean that the ombudsman would want, I mean, the entities would? Someone is saying that, Joanne, yeah. I'm surprised at you, but they didn't say why. I think what people are trying to say to me is that I am on the side, or jumping on the side of the insurance companies. For those who feel that, I am not. All I'm saying is an error was made. If it caused any, in your case, you know, problems with your husband asking a question, and the person at the insurance company should never have said that to you when you said, they said that your husband, like, he don't trust you. They should be more apologizing to you and not saying those things to you. But again, it was an error that they put in writing.
All the time, though, with different people?
Well, it seemed as if it was one, it was
an error. And you can't make an error with them?
I understand
that. You can't make an error with them? You cannot make an error with them?
But for those persons who are asking, you know, or saying that I'm picking up for the insurance company, I'm just trying to ascertain what it is then that would be a fair way of resolving the issue, because you got the letter of an apology. At least you should say, because you are the recipient of this, one of them. The other persons here obviously are not, so they can obviously throw in their two cents. It's not them. It's for you.
But if I have another deal with them, they should compromise then and say, okay, well, that happened, so we will give you this, that, because of your hurt. But no, they're not doing that. I don't know what to say with these companies. They're doing these things because, you know, they are big people and they have money, so they could afford to do that to the poorer set of people.
The people are agreeing with you, ma'am. I must say you have a lot of support. Someone sent a copy of the letter to say it happened to them, too. Someone else here is saying this is why we need a small claims court and maybe I am ignorant to it. I figured if the wrong name went on something, how many times you said it happened again? It's more than once, right?
Yeah, but I didn't do anything with the first time, but mm-hmm. Only twice it happens, right? But I didn't do it the first time, you know, I just go and pay my money. Mm-hmm. And call it a day, but it's like these people don't compromise with you, and if something else happened with you and them, they don't compromise. Say, okay, well, let me give you this in exchange for this, because you think, no, they don't. They stand up for what their rights are, and we're not supposed to stand up for our rights. We don't get no rights neither in the court, nor we don't get no rights from the insurance or certain places. They could do you anything, and that is what Barbados seems to be coming to, or most of the Caribbean islands.
Okay, and before you go, because we're going to take another caller now, but it said, where is the compensation? Why do you allow companies in this country to get away with nonsense to the person who is writing about, they're surprised at me. They're just saying, yes, that's what I meant, but I'm not sure what they're referring to, so I can't pursue that. But basically, ma'am, all I can say is in my opinion, the insurance company apologized. If you want to take it any further, I believe that you're free to do so, okay? But you take care, and hopefully your husband hearing you now, if he wasn't convinced before, he's convinced now that it was a genuine error. This is Down to Brass Tacks. It's 1:49. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I would like to find out something. Mm-hmm. I have not received any income tax return for the past 6 years. I was told that we would get it back. What has become of that? Can you say if you can?
I can't. I know that the minister in the Ministry of Finance sat here on Monday, and he explained about the tax returns. He said that 2015-16, forgive me, I don't remember everything, but he said that some persons would have received 2018, and he called some other years, but he did say that if people are still waiting for, in your case, 6 years, then you should contact the Ministry of Finance. I did not hear him say exactly who you should call, but I'm sure if you call the PBX or Erica Lazar, which I believe is the, she'll be here next week, I think, but she's the communications specialist, and she should be able to answer those questions. Do you have like a tracking system, like a TAMIS number that you go on and you're able to see?
Yeah, I have a TAMIS number, and every time I ask, they're saying, oh, it's processing. This is 6 years now, they tell me this money processing. 6 years, 2014, 15, 16, 17, well, not 18. Because after I find I wasn't getting back anything, I just refused to file. So when I went for my TAMIS, the guy said, you know, you have $900 here for anything. I said, well, y'all could keep it because I'm not going to get it back.
So see, that's the thing, why people don't like to file, and I'm not discouraging people from filing, but I could understand why people don't race, even though it's a $500 fine, if you don't. Some people feel like I'm rushing and stand up in long lines to get this done, to avoid the $500 fine, but waiting for maybe $1,500 back or $2,000, and then they have to wait 3-4 years. So sometimes you ask yourself, it is better to get the fine and let them keep the money, because you don't get it in some cases, or in your case, you have to wait for a really long time. And I don't know what happens to, I don't even know why some people get theirs faster than others. It was explained, it depends on when you file, but I would like to think that, you know, at some point you would have received to 14 or at least 18.
No, 14 to 15 to 16 to 17, I ain't get nothing up to this day. I'm waiting, the post people came here often. They bring my mails, but there is nothing like income tax return. So I was like, you know, they ain't giving us. So the past government, no, you may put in your head right now because they're not getting it back.
So you're saying for every year, this is the 6 years, for every time you call, I'm going to imagine that.
No, I call, I go.
Wow, worse. Well, let's say when you get there, obviously this is the first time you would have queried a year. So when the first year passed and the second year passed, the words I am processing was still being.
Yeah, it's in process. It's in processing. It's processing. So I said, I mean, every year it's processing like this. Well, miss that year, it's processing. I said, well, it makes sense I come here anymore. So I just stopped going. So this year I ain't go. Last year I went because I find that it's not really waste. It's a waste of my time leaving home to go down there.
Well, I was going to say to you that you should just call and speak to someone in authority if you're going to go down there.
And this is something I think that you may not want to hear, or you may want to hear. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, this politics now, though, because, I mean, I remember when they had They ain't getting nothing. Nothing. Mm-hmm. Right? And eventually, nothing. Mm-hmm. I know Mrs. Molly. She is going to reign there for 5 years. I don't care nobody say. She's going to have 15 years because she's doing a real good job. Mm-hmm. A real good job. 15 years or less. And that is what I have to say. And she will, if she trusts God, she ain't going to lose no seats. If she do lose, it might be only one. But I trust God that she keep the government for her lifetime.
Well, Kadir, she can't keep it for the lifetime. She probably will need a break. I don't think any person can do that. But basically, you switched on me here. You want, because I didn't, you came through broken a little bit there just now. So yeah. We moved off the taxes. I mean, we're going to make an appeal. And I do believe Erica Lazar, because she did message me last week to say that she wanted to come on the show the week of February the 11th, and she can speak to that. And I encourage all persons who are interested in their tax returns to stay tuned for that show on Brass Tax. And I can't offer you any explanation in terms of what, other than what the minister said. Now, you see, the thing is, he did say that not everybody, but most people got back theirs to 18. But I'm hearing 15, 16. I never heard anyone said 14, but you are saying 14.
Well, I'm getting on for 14. I know it's back.
Okay. Well, and again, with the people who respond in that way, where it's processing, or people got to start using the English language a little bit better, because even if you say it's processing, you can't say the same word over and over again. Eventually,
well, because it's a different person you're meeting.
But you should tell them that the first person told you that and the second person told you that, and next time you call.
But the first person I spoke to retire.
Well, listen, take my foolish advice. Call and speak to someone senior, one of those officers.
They don't let you speak to nobody. Just anybody not in.
Well, you see, I'm sorry that you didn't call the show on Monday to explain this when the minister was here. So that he can then...
You can't get in the show sometimes.
Well, I am sorry to hear that, but it would have been perfect for when he was here, so that you could have aired your concerns and maybe even leave your name. Actually, this is before we finish the conversation, I think I will let you leave your name with Michelle, so that we can help follow through this for you. Because it's easy to track. When you make a phone call, people normally will tell you, but the whole story about the processing, I don't agree
really
with that.
I really like to get it, tell you honest truth.
And you are working still? I mean, are you?
Oh, I retire now.
You're retired now.
I didn't get none. Yeah, they robbed me of $9,000.
Of $9,000?
Yeah, and they told me that to give me some sort of rambling story. When the people where I work with work it out, they told me how much I was getting. And when I actually get it, the eyes was like popping out. Wait, that's what she get? Oh, Lord. She should get more, but...
Well, as we come on to the end of this show, one of the things again and again that we hear is the responses we get from government agencies. In this case, it's BRA. Some cases, it's water. Other cases, it's sanitation or whatever. You know, when people just are trying to get information and you can never get information, or you get put on to somebody and you get a voicemail. That, for me, is very irritating. But it's not only government. It is private sector, too. I was calling a bank the other day and it took me an hour to get through to a human being, and this person is not at their desk, and they tell you to call this other number or this extension. That doesn't happen, because they then tell you call somebody else, and these are all machines. So it's not only the government and sector, it's also the private sector. But ma'am, leave your name with the producer, and maybe when Erica Lazar comes from BRA next week, we would be able to have some information for the public and for you in particular regarding your taxes, your income tax, and where exactly, if it's still in the mail, and how soon it would be mailed. I want to thank our producer, Michelle Brathwaite. Thank the public for all the calls. Thank you for the WhatsApp messages. I'm so sorry that I could not get through all. And until we meet again, God bless.